And welcome back to our Brindlewood Bay game. We are having a ton of fun with our guest DM, GM, whatever they call it in this game. Say hi, David.
Hello.
Ah, he didn't do the thing.
Oh, hi, David.
Yeah. We always try to get people to say it. It's just kind of funny. Alrighty, we're having a great time. This has been super fun, and we're looking forward to getting started again. But before we do, we'll invite you to join us over on The Actual Place. It is a ton of fun, our favorite place on the internets. You can talk to us about this show. I'm sure people will have lots of comments, especially after that last episode. Let us know what your theories are, because obviously we're kind of forming our own right now as to what's actually going on. So should be pretty entertaining. And if you want to, check out David's show. David, tell us about your show real quick.
Yeah, my name's David, and I host a show called Trials of the Apocalypse, a show where we play one-shot games in different Powered by the Apocalypse systems with a rotating cast and all that fun jazz. And today we're playing Brindlewood Bay.
Yeah. It's super fun.
I'm loving the mystery aspect of this whole thing.
I know,
finding
right?
clues.
Andrew and I have just been have watched like four seasons since the last time we played of Murder She Wrote. So
yeah,
we've been really looking forward to this.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, I guess we'll go ahead and get into it, David.
Let's dip back down into our mystery. We just saw chaos unfurl with Doris and Gladys at Sue's trailer. Let's pop over and see how Jane and Rose are doing. They recently investigated Paul's trailer, looked around the body, found a couple of clues, and then departed to go and learn some more somewhere else. Jane, Rose, where are you going? What are you doing?
Well, honestly, we are hearing the sound of all these sirens. Like, I want to know what's with the sirens.
But that was not... That was immediately after what they did, so what have we been doing?
Yeah,
in the
but
meantime?
Presumably it took us a while to, like, investigate the body and whatnot, so I figure, like, this is probably happening at the same time.
Is it happening immediately, or do we have a second?
I say let's give you all a scene kind of in between. I think there was, like, again, Sue kind of explained her whole day's life story sort of mm-hmm. situation. So this was, like, some amount of time passed before everything occurred. So let's say, yeah... We'll conclude your scene here, Jane and Rose, with the sirens coming in and kind of everyone getting pulled back together. So for now, things are still quiet on the set as we're in between preparing for different things. What are you two up to?
Well, Rose, where do you think we ought to go next?
Well, darling, given that Paul seems to have come to a rather nasty end, I recall a rumor. Yes, it was... Oh, I don't know. I follow so many cooking subscriptions. It's odd, but I know I saw one once where there was discussion of an argument. Yes, there was an argument between Paul Scott Lamb. Yes, that was him. I am not blaming him at all. I don't know the details, but it does seem to me rather suspicious, rather odd that they had this falling out and now he has found himself in such a unfortunate predicament. I would recommend that we perhaps go and find Mr. Lamb and hear what he has to say, if anything.
Oh, yes, the fellow that lacks the bow ties.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, let's go talk to him.
Hmm. And yeah, so I think they're making their way towards Scott's trailer, and I know I didn't mention it in the last episode, but her tabby cat, Mo, has been following her this whole time. He has just been in the background, not doing anything much, but it will become relevant. So
yeah, I don't think that any of the contestants have their own trailer. However,
I was about to say, they probably do.
Or I'm sorry, yeah, might not trailer, but wherever
in
he is.
Between rounds, so long as there isn't, I think there's like, probably Buck, the cameraman, helps out with clearing off the different workstations and stuff in the tent. But I do think the other contestants are probably mostly gathered in that communal space, the tent, the judge's tent, that sort of area.
Okay. I think she's picked out Mr. Scott Lamb and she's heading straight for him.
Yeah. the two of you enter the scene in the tent. I have a question now for the two of you. This is actually paint the scene for everyone. The tent is normally decorated to look like a quaint cottage somewhere in the English countryside, but has been given an American flair for this special episode. What sort of American gewgaws do you see? What kind of American paraphernalia has been put on display?
At least one enormous American flag somewhere.
I was literally about to say the same thing, yeah.
Definitely
a big
American flag.
I think the ceiling of the tent itself should just be a giant American flag.
Oh.
I think it's probably like red, white, and blue like stripes all around.
Yeah.
Maybe a photo of, like, say, Lincoln. Like, that really famous black and white photo of Lincoln is somewhere.
There's a replica of the Declaration of Independence.
It's actually the one that Nicolas Cage stole
from the gift shop. Yes.
I was literally going to say the same thing.
It's $35.
It has like a certificate of authenticity that it's like the one that Nicolas Cage held.
It's like the official prop.
From the movie. Yeah.
Love that. Any other detail we're going to slide into here?
I don't want to make it too crazy.
Yeah.
And I was in agreement with all of these, so I love it.
Nothing, unless we want to say there's like, I don't know, a bald eagle, like one of those bald eagle posters with the you know, some kind of...
Actually, I like it better as a literal...
You have to add a poster to this.
No, literal... Oh, that's true. I could add a poster, or we could have a literal bald eagle that's like trained and is like
in a cage or something, or just there.
No, loose. It's loose.
Yeah. Oh, that's a little much, I think.
He's on a like one of those posts, you know, like for predator birds. Yeah. Where they have like the post for them to stand on, like for if you're doing like falconing, but in this case eagling.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's still called falconry.
Yeah. They're not a suspect, but like standing next to the eagle, very official, is just somebody in a like patterned shirt. With a pocket protector and like has like their name. They've got one of those big leather gloves on one arm for the eagle to be on, and they're just standing next to the eagle, and they're just like there in the background for B-roll during the episode.
Yeah.
I would like to imagine that when the judges decide on a winner, they write the winner's name down on like a piece of paper and give it to the eagle. So then whenever they're being like dramatic and announcing the winner, the bald eagle flies in and gives them the piece of paper.
I love that for this like American stint of the show. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
yes. It's good.
I'd like to think in the action of arriving in this tent, the bird's head, like, it was looking in one direction, and then all of a sudden it turns when Rose enters, because it has zeroed in on Mo, who has puffed himself up and goes, you know, just like in the background. They've locked onto each other. They're like, you were a bird and I am a feline. I hate you forever. You know, it's that kind of thing.
Yes. Excellent.
But yeah, they're going straight for Scott.
Yeah, okay. Are you joining Rose heading towards Scott, Jane, or are you doing something else in the tent? In this tent currently is probably Buck the cameraman. I think Heath Hendricks the producer is here. Melanie Blair, the other contestant, is also here.
I think I'm very curious about Scott. I also kind of want to talk to Buck.
Okay. I'll say that maybe Buck is getting a camera set up near where Scott's table is. And so you can kind of be a part of that conversation if you want to, but also Buck is here.
Okay. I'll let Buck finish setting his camera up, and then I'll talk to him.
Yeah. And something I'll say is evident, and I think Heath Hendricks is directing people around. It's clear in this scene that, at least based on how things are moving, Heath intends to continue filming. Mm-hmm. They are setting things up for, you know, your next challenge of the day, which is biscuits.
Mmm.
And they seem to be getting all the tables prepared for it.
Now, question.
He's going to make a documentary called Baking a Murderer.
Question, David. Do you mean American biscuits or English biscuits?
Oh, these biscuits are... Oh, that's a good question. It is the American... No, but it's still the British bake show.
I want it to be called biscuits because I'm going to make like biscuits and gravy because I don't know the difference.
Excellent.
Usually in England, biscuits refer to what we would call cookies.
Yes. We know.
We know, Wesley.
I'm sorry. You said you didn't know the difference, so that's what I was. Anyway.
No, her character.
I'm saying
my
character doesn't know the difference.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
So I think the name of the round is biscuits. We'll see what people do.
Okay. All right.
So I'll leave that up for everyone's interpretation when we arrive there.
Excellent.
Which, by the way, Biscuits Round is going to come right after this. So do be thinking a little bit about what you're doing for Biscuits.
Oh boy.
Technically, we are supposed to get through the whole, like, all three rounds. We'll see. You guys are marching ahead with this mystery. We might end up, like, resolving. Maybe the finale of this will be, like during the cake round. That'd be cool.
Oh, that'd be fun.
That'd be funny. Okay.
What a great dramatic reveal.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So, for now, we are preparing for the Biscuits round. Rose, you've gone over to Scott Lamb. Jane is quickly behind you. Your cat is hissing and puffing themselves out in front of a bald eagle. Scott is just tidying up his station. All of them, of course, have already been tidied up, but he, like, is still going through the materials, and he seems pretty intense about this. The two of you come up, and he looks up and, I think, adjusts his bow tie, looks over at Buck, expecting him to be, like, rolling camera, but he's, like, still setting up, and so he kind of, like, sighs and puts his hands on his hips. Hey, hell of a day, right?
Indeed, yes. It's Mr. Lamb, isn't it?
Please, Mr. Lamb is my father. You call me Scott. Scotty's also good.
Oh,
hello, Scotty.
If you do insist. Oh, you are a dear. Oh, I just, I'm curious. Do you happen to enjoy cats?
Yes. Who doesn't love those little furry bastards?
She's struck dumb a moment, but out of politeness, she just swallows. Yes. Yes, indeed. Now, actually, I have my own friend right here. Mo, she calls, and he's, like, right there, but still puffed up. And she lifts him up and is holding him there, and he's trying to calm down, but you can see that he's still, like, staring murder at this eagle. And going, she's like, oh, now, don't be that way in front of dear Mr. I'm sorry, Scott. And she's like, would you like to hold him? He's actually very nice.
I actually had a freak accident with a cat once where, like, they were trying to fight about legal, and then I picked them up. It's actually a crazy circumstance, but this is too traumatic, like, you know, this is just a resurgence of my past trauma. I don't know if I can.
Oh,
thanks,
dear.
Thanks for the offer, though.
I'm deeply sorry. I'm so sorry, Scott. Please do forgive me. But she'll set him down, and as she goes on, she looks at him and goes, yes, it has been quite the day, that nasty business with Mr. Riviera. But forgive me for prying, I don't mean to, but I was wondering what sort of, I recall that back in the day that you and...
You two didn't get along very well, did you?
Well... And she looks at Jane and goes, well, yes, if you want to get right down to the point, yes, but we are just, as you know, we are just trying to gather information about what had happened, and I believe it might be helpful to get some information possibly about the events that transpired, if you don't mind, of course. And I would love to actually roll my Maven move here if I can.
How are you applying it? What are you doing?
I would think that it says that, here, I'll read it because I don't think I've actually read it here before, is you have your feline companion with which you can share a very strong bond. They can do tricks and follow simple commands. When you use the cat to get an advantage on a roll, leave it unmarked.
I don't think the cat's going to help us here.
Yeah.
Actually, I have a great idea for how to integrate the cat in this scene.
Okay.
So, you ask these questions of Scott Lamb. Give me a meddling roll. You'll take advantage on it. This is with presence as you're trying to have this conversation.
I don't know. She's not a... Despite her lack of sensitivity, she does not have that much presence, but we'll try.
Give it a go.
Advantage, is that like 3d6?
So you're going to roll 3 dice, and you're going to keep your highest 2.
I have a 4 and a 3 and one more... And a 5, so I keep a 4 and a 5.
Yeah, yep. So that's 9. And then what's your presence?
A 0, so 9 even.
Zero. Okay, so that's a 9 even. Well, on a 7 to 9, you get
nine's
a 2.
An, 9's an odd number.
Sorry. Andrew.
That's fair.
Very true.
I apologize. Carry on.
He'll get even with you, Andrew.
I couldn't let it ride.
You could have, but you just didn't want to.
Nope.
Sorry, David.
So you pester Scott for these details. And he And he, like, settles down on his back foot. He sighs a little bit. I know that there was all sorts of wild speculation about, you know, Paul and I, after our tizzy that we got into on the show, you know, a couple seasons ago. But I promise you, all of that's behind us. If you want to know the details, you know, follow the forum boards, just like everybody else who cares about that stuff. You know, it's really all in the past. And he, like, kind of emphasizes that detail. And as he's doing that, you've set back down your cat, and they kind of, like, plod around. They're, like, sniffing around the station, and you hear them kind of meow for you in a way that you're familiar with on the other side of the station where Scott is currently standing. And you lean over and peer over, and you can see that the shoes that he's wearing are actually also dusted in flour, similar to, of course, the scene that you saw at Paul's trailer. And he takes a step back when he does so, and the cat actually... What's the name of your cat again?
Full name is Molasses, but he goes by Mo. I call him Mo.
Yeah, Mo actually, like, sniffs around the feet, and you notice that. And then they kind of tuck in underneath the station, and they, like, start tugging on something, and Scott's like, hey, you shouldn't be messing down down there, and, like, goes to go and stop them.
Oh, what you got, little guy?
But you see Mo has pulled out some kind of flour-covered ball gag, handcuffs, and riding crop that have been stowed underneath here.
And I think she bends down. She goes, did you find something, Mosier? And then he pulls this out. She turns and looks at Scott with the most disappointed grandmother look ever and goes...
Jane looks extremely amused.
How,
I was gonna say, I wish Gladys was there.
Exactly, would you mind explaining exactly how far in the past said rumors might be?
Yeah, Scott's like...
Interesting baking supplies you got there.
Scott, like, clears their throat. Okay. Paul and I have a little bit of history, all right? Like, The internet knows we never could make it public. Didn't want to hurt Paul's career.
So you did snog, is what you're saying. You snogged him.
Well, I wouldn't use such crass language for what we have on occasion done. Mm-hmm. But
would you prefer bang?
Wow,
much better. it's more accurate to the emotions at play. But I saw you guys talking to the sheriff earlier. I know that you're probably like, look, was I there during the break with Paul? Blowing off some steam. Yes, of course we were. But the reason I brought all this with me and put it under here, like, you guys, are you familiar with, like, neglect play? Like, he was supposed to be left like that, and then I let... I wasn't, like, there when...
Jade nods sagely.
I wasn't there when, like, it happened, you know? Like, just because I was there doesn't mean, like, I was there.
So, were you the one that was playing with the, was the flower a part of it?
And he, like, gestures down to his feet. Maybe a little.
All right.
You didn't happen to remove a certain award,
Actually, that feels like we're rooting around still for some clues or something.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get another meddling move. You still asked the question, Rose, so I'm gonna give you the roll on this.
Do I still get advantage because of Mo or not?
No. Okay. Mo's been used now.
All right.
So this will just be a medal with presence.
Oh, that is a 3 on a 0 presence.
Yeah.
Oh.
We are rolling so well.
They shake their head side to side and said, "No, that was already there. Paul said he would just clean it up later. He seemed kind of distracted about it, honestly. I think he had some kind of argument before. I don't know any of the details. Sorry." As he says that, I think Buck comes over and, like, says to the group of you, "You all feeling up and ready for the biscuits round? Got the camera set up, been talking around. I feel like we're ready to kind of roll here."
Oh, I love biscuits.
Rose looks at Buck and goes, "That's my secret, darling. I'm always ready."
And he, like...
Jane rolls her eyes.
Yeah, he smiles as best he can. Sure. So I don't know if you've spoken with the director yet, but we're going to kind of work around this whole Paul issue. We've got a lot of B-roll with him, and he's like done a lot of recordings on the show. We'll fix it in post. But for now, what we don't have is film of all of you and your exciting biscuit recipes. So let's and he like just spins his finger next to his head. Let's get the ball rolling on this. I think he looks over the director who. As I think we described him previously, he's kind of perennially pissed. He's like, oh, I think we should probably get moving on this. And it's about then that you hear the sirens coming in.
And
he, Bucklick, raises an eyebrow. Sure hope that's for Paul. And we're going to hard cut from there over to Doris and Gladys. I think the ambulance shows up. You help Sue get loaded onto a stretcher or provide information to the paramedics as they do that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I probably, what I probably would have done is taken a picture of the dart, but I think I would actually give that to them saying, hey, this is evidence, but you also need to figure out what she was poisoned with, you know, just in case there's any like residual effects that they need to treat, so.
Yeah, I think... You hand that off to them. Jane, somewhere in that interaction, she comes to, and they ask her some basic questions, you know, making sure she didn't, like, fall and get a concussion or anything, or all that stuff. She seems to pass those, so they gave her medical clearance. I think Heath shows up long enough to make sure that Jane has medical clearance to record as, like, Sue is being offloaded, and he's, like, got his head in his hands, just like, it's fine, it's fine. We can work with this. We've also got film for Sue. We can get this finished for the BBC. It'll be fine. Are you all ready for the biscuits round?
I honestly completely forgot we are still in a competition.
Yeah, Doris is looking from, you know, kind of looking around at everyone. She just says, you're sure that finishing the show is the most important thing right now?
Good. Those questions, that confusion, channel it into your bakes. Let's get back to the tent.
Gladys holds her recorder up to her mouth because she's still been recording this whole time, and she says, taking a break to make some jammy dodges. Be right back. And then she turns it off.
Jammy dodges.
We cut from there to, you know, like 20 minutes later, everybody's assembled back in the tent. Whether or not it's for better or for worse, the show must go on, or so Keith Hendricks thinks. And we enter the biscuits round of our competition. Because this isn't a mystery show, this is a baking competition show.
Yeah.
Let's get baking. This is the biscuits round. This is gonna work very similar to last time. So what we're gonna do here is we're gonna go around the table and we're gonna ask each of you to describe what sort of biscuit your maven is making for the round. Mm. And then we will ask the player to their left. In this case, we'll just do I guess left feels more counterclockwise. So counterclockwise, we'll ask whether or not it was a triumph or rather disappointing. with the exception being that for the maven whose cozy activity is baking, which I believe was Rose?
Myself, yes. Yep.
Yeah, Rose's bakes are always a triumph. By virtue of that choice.
Cheater.
Baking is my life, dude. Baking is my life.
So, let's start with... I mean, Gladys, you already said, are you making jammy dodgers?
Yeah, I'm gonna make some jammy dodgers. So, to my understanding, a jammy dodger is basically like two little vanilla cookies with like a strawberry jam in the middle, and then there's like a cutout on the top cookies so that you can see the jam. So her cutout is a little dart.
Oh my. I mean, bake what you know, I guess.
Yes. After what just occurred, you know, the director said to put that confusion into their bakes. So
right.
She has one little cookie with a dart cut out on top and then another with plane tickets cut out of the top cookie.
Mm. Oh my gosh.
Oh my. Okay.
Rose, what are you making for the biscuit round?
She is going to go with a classic. She's going to be making scones is what she's doing. And
lovely.
She's doing these traditionally shaped triangle scones, but she's doing, with the ingredients, she's doing like a raisin and cinnamon scone. And I think with that comment from the sheriff earlier about saying how the pie was serviceable, she's still feeling rather incensed about that. So you can see that she's moving with a very certain sort of energy, but not, you know, causing huge problems to her own order. But yes, she's feeling a certain way, number one, about the, well, of course, about the murder, obviously, and the conversation she just had with Scott, but also, someone dared to refer to her baking as only serviceable? That hurts.
Yeah. Jane, how about you? What are you making?
I think Jane has really little knowledge of, like, Britain and Britainisms, and heard biscuits. And she thought, ooh, as a good Southern lady, she should make biscuits and gravy.
Mm-hmm.
So she is cooking biscuits and gravy and is very confused to see everyone else using so much sugar in their recipes. So she has a sinking feeling, but she is going to make the best dang biscuits and gravy she can.
I love that. Doris.
So Doris decides that you can't go wrong with a classic and is going to make some chocolate chip cookies.
Mm. Heck yeah.
But they're going to be like what my family always called like monster cookies. So it's like a big cookie. So like the size of each cookie is very large.
Oh,
I love that. So asking then, Doris, regarding Gladys's jammy Dodgers, are they a triumph or are they rather disappointing?
There was actually one thing I wanted to throw you for a loop on while we were in this round, if you'll allow it.
Yeah, let's hear
Can
it.
Can I be like surveying the contestants and other suspects like during this whole process to see if anybody's acting out of the ordinary?
Yeah,
like when I have
absolutely.
Downtime in between like parts of my bake, you know, I want to see if I can gather any details.
Yeah. That would definitely be a metal roll that's with... Well, let me ask you. Do you feel like this is more you acting for the camera but still monitoring your surroundings? Or do you think this is more you analyzing what everyone else is doing?
I think this is more me analyzing when I have downtime, probably when I'm not on camera. Like when I'm like in between parts of my kind of preps, I would just be like looking around and just seeing if I notice anything off about anybody.
Okay, then this feels like a medal with reason.
Okay, 2 in reason. That is a 9.
Yeah, so with a 9, that's a clue with a mixed success. Doris, you catch Donna. Donna is Paul's wife. You see Donna come up, and she speaks first with Buck as he's switched the camera to a stationary position, kind of capturing one of the, just like capturing one of the stations. And she speaks briefly with him, and he kind of looks at her confused, shrugs. And she then goes off to the director, to Heath Hendricks, and speaks with him, apparently about the same subject. You don't catch the full conversation, nor really any of the context. That's kind of the complication I'm going to give you here.
Yeah. It's all visual.
Yeah. But he seems like this has been a day of frustration piled upon frustration for Heath Hendricks. And whatever Donna is asking him, he seems to want nothing to do with. And you don't catch their whole conversation, but you do catch him say rather angrily, because he raises his voice, "No, I'm not going to give you any more money." And so you catch that snippet of their conversation in the course of this scene, in the course of this leg of the competition. There is this plea for financial help.
Okay.
That Heath Hendricks dismisses. So we've gained another clue. And I want to give you a condition with this, because we've had a couple of mixes, but we haven't had an opportunity to give a condition yet.
Mm-hmm.
I say we actually probably should have given out some conditions for Sue randomly being shot at.
Yeah.
But how do you... Let me ask, Doris, how do you feel after you hear this? Like, what's rolling around in Doris's head?
When Doris hears that... that Paul's wife was asking for money from, which one was it that she was asking? It was the director, right?
She seemed to first talk to Buck about something, and then she talked to the director, Heath Hendricks. Yes.
Okay. So she went to Heath after talking to Buck, and Doris is, I mean, I think she's just feeling contemplative. She's trying to piece things together, you know? She's trying to see if this matters or not for the larger issue that's going on with Paul's death. So maybe contemplative is a good one.
I'll say...
You can modify that for sure.
I'm going to give Doris Bloodhound as a condition.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
Your nose is to the scent. You've got to know more.
Okay, for sure. Yeah, I'll take that.
Mm. Yeah.
So this is like a compulsive thing.
Yeah, so this is something... So having a condition like this is both a narrative thing that you can kind of roleplay towards, but then also it's something that can mechanically be used to invoke disadvantage on a roll if that would interfere with your ability to do something.
Okay, yeah, definitely.
For instance,
okay,
like if you were trying to escape an interesting situation, I would probably say, like, well, you have Bloodhound right now, so, like, you want to know more? That's going to interfere with your ability to, like, really marshal all your resources to get away or something like that.
That makes sense, yeah. I think it's totally within Doris's character, too, that she is... you know, kind of on the trail and feels like she might be onto something. So
and I'm also going to retroactively, because I should have done this at the time, Gladys, I'm going to give you a condition for the void clue you gained. I'm going to give you the condition, let's call it Under the Mask.
Oh.
And you could interpret that as her wanting to, like, being, like, having a focus on those specific figures, or even just kind of the conspiracy at large that might be going on here, right? Like,
yeah.
So we'll kind of throw that in, and then we'll get back to the bakes. Let's finish this baking round.
Yeah, so that was me interrupting your question for how Gladys's bake was this time.
Yeah, so how did Gladys's Jammy Dodgers turn out?
I think that they are a triumph. I think that she did very, very well this time. They sound delicious. She picked something that I don't know if their origin is British, but it sounds British. So to me, it seems to be in theme. So yeah, I think full marks all around.
Of course they're British. The doctor saved the world with the Jammy Dodger one time.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a Jammy Dodger that I was promised tea. Oh, yes.
So let me ask then. Those are a success. Gladys, Jane's Biscuits and Gravy. Is it a success? Is it a triumph? Or is it rather disappointing? How does Jane Leaf feel about Jane Fletcher's creation?
Oh, man.
I think they probably taste amazing. However, it's not the correct biscuit.
Yes.
So I think it's rather disappointing just because it's not the correct biscuit. However, I'm pretty sure they taste amazing anyway.
That was kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, I do think that, like, Jane Leaf, when she takes a bite and, you know, kind of munches it around, I think you actually see some color return to her face. This is like a nice hearty something after the harrowing day. And she does kind of smile. Well, they're delicious, but not really in the spirit, not the competition. Paul and I will have to think about it in the judge's tent. And she nods. And
I think Jane just nods kind of good-naturedly because she's looking at everyone else who has made baked goods, like sweet things. And she's like, I screwed up.
So let me ask you, Jane, Doris's monster cookie chocolate chip, success, triumph, or are they rather disappointing?
I have a question for Doris. Are these... dark chocolate or milk chocolate?
Oh.
Dark chocolate.
Okay, they're a triumph.
Yes. Score, getting to know my wife's tastes and use it to my advantage, even though we're not related to these individuals at all.
I think they're delicious and like the most perfect, soft, chewy, almost like fall apart as soon as you pick them up. You know, fresh baked cookies.
They're very moist.
God, I'm so hungry.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Jane does comment. Jane Leaf comments like, "Oh, it's a very American style, but just the right amount of sweetness, just that nice chocolate kick." And I think she smiles for maybe the first real time today, or I say real time today. She's probably smiling this morning before things got worse. The first time this afternoon, we'll say.
Yeah, certainly since things happened, yes.
Yeah. And Rose.
Yes.
yours is a triumph.
Yes.
What instead of asking about your bake, I'm going to ask, because we've like Scott has been quite visible since we first met him. I think Scott makes some like, I think he makes like some black and whites, like iced cookies, sort of classic shortbread base.
Okay.
Are they a triumph or rather disappointing, Rose?
Oh. Well, he did try to dissuade me from what was actually going on in his he was trying to kick it under the rug. So.
Well, but I mean, he was he was.
That doesn't affect
that
his baking.
Anything embarrassed. To do with baking.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
But it has to do with how Rose feels
about it. Yes.
Yeah.
Not the same. Not the same.
I based mine on whether or not Andrew's fictional cookies were
that's
made
true.
Dark or light
that's
chocolate.
True.
So I think you can base this decision on anything.
Yeah. I think that they are, I want to say they're rather disappointing, but not epically so. It's like middle of the road. So
they're just boring.
It's like, yeah, he went a safe route. He didn't try to like put a twist on it or make them his own. He just did. It's like, oh, this is my comfort thing. I know how to make this. Boom. Which would work, except this is a competition, and I don't think he did well enough. And can I posit something that Rose has been doing besides this?
Yes, but let's come to Rose in a second.
Okay.
I want to just do this quick scene between Jane and Scott. Yeah, I think Jane like takes a bite of the cookie and says like, they're far far too sweet, and the icing is just it's just too thick. And Scott's like, Paul wouldn't have thought that the icing was too thick. I don't know.
Oh. Oh.
And then we pan back over to Rose.
Ouch. Wow. Wow.
There's
wow.
jokes to be made about biscuits and buttering and
icing yeah. and all that.
Buttering my biscuits.
What's Rose been up to?
Along with making her beautiful cinnamon raisin scones, she has been, I think, excuse me, did I just hear? Oh my gosh, what?
Raisins.
What?
Yeah, raisins are gross.
Well,
stick to your guns, Rose. Cinnamon raisins.
No. This is not Rose's reaction. This is
you need to remember this though. You need to remember this transgression for the next time you judge potentially one of their things in the next round.
Fair point. But this is just me as the player being surprised. I did not know this about my two friends, and now I know it. Okay, moving on.
Well, everyone thinks raisins are gross.
Incorrect.
You're a weirdo.
Incorrect.
Raisins are delicious.
Thank you, David.
I can only
Hang on,
have.
Andrew, what's your opinion on raisins? We need a tiebreaker.
Well, the problem is I'm not a tiebreaker. I'm kind of like middle of the road, so like I don't really like raisins on their own, but they're okay in a cookie. With chocolate
oatmeal
chips
raisin
and sugar.
Is a top tier cookie.
That is an amazing cookie. Although then again,
it is
I would
a good so cookie. Good.
I would
yeah,
also buy them from
cookie.
The store and eat them out of the bag. But anyway,
nothing worse.
Sorry,
than biting
Rose.
Into
what are you
a
doing? I apologize
expecting
for derailing you
chips
with my opinions.
Raisins.
I'm sorry. I'm just rather shocked. Anyway, yes. What she has been doing is doing something that is very similar to what Andrew's character was doing. Forgive me for names.
Doris, you're good.
Yes. She especially since narratively she would have finished these scones in record time with possibly time to spare, so she can't of course leave her station, so she's kind of feigning being busy, you know, cleaning up and everything, but she's watching as well to see how people are reacting after this harrowing day.
Is there anyone in specific that you're focusing your attention on? Or like maybe even, if you finish up a little bit early, maybe even have a short conversation with. We'll see who you want to talk to. But.
Well, the
who's the other contestant?
Oh, there's also Melanie. I was going to get to her in a second. But.
Well, I was going to do, I did want to do a small scene with Jane Leaf, so perhaps when she comes over to inspect mine.
Yeah.
Or do this first and then and then that.
Well, I was going to ask, is that something that you do while the camera is rolling, or is this something that you do
no, I'll
when
wait
the camera's
for,
elsewhere?
I'll wait for that when it's not rolling, so maybe when I'm not being followed by the camera. She hasn't judged my dish yet, but she's completed them, or they're in the oven, they're waiting to be pulled.
Yeah.
And she kind of drifts over to Jane, who I'm guessing at this point is not being followed either by camera for a moment.
Yeah, I think currently they're focusing in... Actually, we'll pan over to Melanie real quick.
Okay.
Melanie Blair. She, returning to our description of her, she's like seems pretty frazzled, but she seems to be a quite adept baker regardless. And she's a Brindlewood Bay local. And I think she's making some no-bakes, which is like a fascinating move to do in this kind of competition, because like they're generally pretty rudimentary and or need to cool appropriately, and it's a warm summer day. And so like she has the camera following her, is like, oh, like she, oh, I made a horrible mistake, oh, I put too much peanut butter in them, and like she is freaking out because she has to make a whole second batch, and like two-thirds of the competition is just like the camera is like trained on Melanie as she's having the worst baking day of her life. And so while that distraction is happening, you talk to Jane Leaf briefly. What do you say to her, Rose?
Yes, she approaches a bit nervously and says, Miss Leaf?
Rose dear, how can I help you?
Well, I wanted to catch you in a moment when the camera wasn't on, because I was wondering, how has this day been for you, dear? I know that all these events are quite strange, and of course, I know I cannot do much, I'm only a home baker, but if there's anything I can do, I would, please do not hesitate to ask. I know Paul was a great friend, yes?
We've worked together for a very long time, Paul and I. His passing leaves a hole in, well, this whole show, and certainly my life to a degree as well. And then with Sue right after, this day has been simply awful.
Yes, yes. Well, please do not hesitate if there's anything that I could do to help you, or pardon me, but do you enjoy cats? And she gestures to Mo, who's right there.
I love it. I love that the way we get Mo involved starts with you like offering Mo.
Do you like
do
cats?
You like cats?
Yeah. The way to introduce the cat to the situation.
I mean, love it.
Sometimes you just gotta do it that way.
Yeah, it's great.
I think Jane has had an emotionally packed day, and this sweet little cat, you know, just tromps right up to her, and she says, oh, you really shouldn't have, and she like crouches down to the cat's level, you really shouldn't have this precious creature in this tent where there's food safety reasons, and also he's just a cute little guy, and she like scratches under his chin and like pets him around the neck. I think Mo is like loving the good scritches.
I think if I can use my, even if I don't use my move for this, I'd love to, but it says that my cat can follow simple commands and tricks. So Rose kind of bends down to Mo and whispers in his ear, now Mo, you shake. And he raises a paw up as if he's going to shake. Yes.
Yeah, no, Jane absolutely takes his paw and shakes his adorable little paw and says, those beans on him. Oh, what a cute little guy.
and she's kind of trying to dig for any possible info, but not in like a more direct way. She's trying to do it subtly, but then again, she doesn't have that much as far as sensitivity, so maybe it does or doesn't work. Do you want me to roll for that, or is it just...
Yeah, well, sensitivity is more like spiritual,
oh, okay,
ghost or spooky stuff. This is definitely a presence roll.
Okay, well, I'll try it anyway.
I'd say this is a meddling move, yeah. Meddling with presence. Let's go for it. Let's see what happens.
But I do gain advantage because of my cat, right?
Yes.
Okay.
You do gain advantage because of your cat. Because, hello, I have a cat. Distracts them with the cat. Asks them personal questions. This is the Rose strategy.
Yes.
I have a 5, 3, and 3. So I get a 5 and 3.
Okay. So that's an 8. And then you had a +0 to presence, right?
Yes, a 0 to presence.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's still a 7 and 9. So that is a mixed success. You will get a clue. She's like scratching the cat and she says, if I'm being completely honest, this hasn't really been a great month either. There's been all sorts of shake-ups going on.
How do you mean, if I might ask?
Well, we've been trying for months to deal with, renegotiate the contract, you see. Paul, of course, although technically we're on equal grounds. He's the star of the show, keeps those ratings up, and so he's paid considerably more than any other, you know, member of the team. And he made some demands recently of Heath and the network. Well, for instance, you've seen his trailer.
Yes.
He has a wine chiller in his trailer.
I know, I saw it. It seemed to be a bit full of himself.
These are the kinds of things that he just asks for, and the network seems to just bend over backwards to give him. And so we've been asking for just like a little bit more pay, and Paul's been asking for the moon, and they hand it to him on a silver platter. And
oh, shameful. Shameful, darling.
Truly. I do worry, though, if maybe Paul's demands of the network have made them more hesitant to answer our more meager ones. And the clue that you've gained is an unreasonable contractual demand.
Okay.
In this case, I would say, like, kind of a series of unreasonable contractual demands.
Okay, so he was trying to strong-arm the network. Got it. Okay, so then I think she smiles kind of warmly to her and says, "Well, darling, whatever else this day might hold for you, I believe what I have cooking in this competition might just bring a smile to your face."
I think she's like looking at Mo, scratching his chin. He's purring like a motorboat. And she does smile softly. "Well, I think, regardless of how the bakes turns out, I'm glad you at least brought this little precious angel with you."
Hmm.
And she stands back up, but he will have to either leave or stay under your station.
Of course.
There is, of course, people's allergies and food safety to worry about.
Of course. Well, then I shall take him away now. Say goodbye, Mo. Say goodbye.
And Mo meows and then follows you.
And yeah, and she just, as she's leaving, she kind of just calls back. She's like, "He is an angel, but let me tell you, he can be an absolute git in the kitchen."
Wesley's just trying to squeeze in every British slang word he knows.
It's great, though. So. It's great. I love it.
It's the strategy.
Yes.
And so the biscuits round comes to a close. The competition once again suspends itself for a short break while the stations are reset, and everyone looks forward to the cake round. And we'll end this episode there.
Mmm.
Ooh.